Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Well, welcome, beautiful family. Thanks for joining me for moments. We're building momentum for your everyday life, momentum for your success, momentum that moves you into God's purpose for your life, further and further into God's purpose for your life. And in fact, today I want to talk about and kind of pick up where we left off from last time we were together for moments. And I want to talk to you about having a vision for your life. And I want to continue to see, help you see the progress that you want to see and catapult you into your destiny, into your purpose, because your purpose can power you through anything. Your purpose can power you through pain. Your purpose can power you through difficult people. Your purpose can, difficult pain, difficult people, difficult past. So if you have had a difficult past, if you deal with difficult people, if you have some difficult pain, your purpose will cancel all that out or power you through all of that and neutralize the power of those things in your life. I think we're so caught up in our pain sometimes. We're so caught up in our past. Sometimes we're so caught up with difficult people sometimes that those things become distractions to the ultimate goal and the ultimate purpose in our life. Our why, our reason for being here. And I want to talk to you about finding your why in your life. And business people have used this terminology, but this is God's idea. This all started with God, to find out your why. Why are you here? What is your purpose? Because if I could just start with a bang with scripture in Proverbs 29:18, it says, correct your son, and he shall give you rest. Actually, that's verse 17. It's not, but do correct your son. Do correct your children, and they will give you rest. When you learn to invest in your kids, you will find rest. Okay, that's another topic for another day. But verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the King James translation. Where there is no vision, the people perish. So get your Bible out, get your notebooks out. Tell people, text people, invite somebody if they want to find out how to power through their pain, how to power through their difficult people, how to power through their past, a difficult past. This is the place to do it. You're going to make it. You're going to get through it. King James, King Jimmy version, where there is no vision, the people perish. Next version I want to share with you is the New American Standard version. Now listen to this. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. The people are unrestrained, so we will have no restraint in our life, no boundaries in our lives. Where we have no vision, there will be no boundaries. We won't set up boundaries. We won't set up proper borders in our life and how to say no to certain things in our life without a vision. Even not just saying no to the bad things in life, but saying no to even some good things in life that are a distraction towards, or a distraction from your purpose, a distraction from your vision, a distraction from, it's not always bad things that we need to get out of our lives. Sometimes there's some good things that are the enemy of great in our lives. And so we should take a look at those things as well. But I love how he uses this translation. I love how he uses this verse, how the writer Solomon puts this, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. People need a vision or they will just have no structure in their life. The New Living Translation, Proverbs 29:18, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. They run wild. Like when kids are younger, when I was young, I ran wild. I did crazy stuff. I think there's some wild in us that's good and healthy, you know, to be willing to explore, to be willing to discover, to be willing to take risks. There's nothing bad about that, but to run wild means that you have no self-control, you have no discipline, because you have no why. You don't have a discipline problem, because discipline, God created every one of us to be able to function in discipline and be able to have discipline in our lives. It's a gift, actually. God, he did not give us a spirit of fear, It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, but power, love, and a sound mind. And that word sound mind is actually translated as discipline. You actually have the discipline to get stuff done. You just don't have your why to give for discipline to express itself. That's really most people's problem. It's not that they have a problem with a lack of discipline. They have a problem with the lack of their why. So if somebody says, well, I just can't get disciplined to exercise because I'm just not, you know, I don't have a vision for, you know, being in a bodybuilding contest or something like that. But that's not the why that anybody should get healthy. We should get healthy because we want to fulfill our lifelong purpose. We want to avoid sickness and disease, and we want to be there for our children, our grandchildren, maybe our great-grandchildren. Like if we could really understand the why, it would power us to continue to stay at something rather than starting and stopping, quitting because you don't like your weight. So you get on these diets, and we go back and forth with these diets. Losing weight should never be the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal should be getting healthy, because when you're healthy, you can fulfill your purpose. When you're healthy, you can run the race with endurance that is set before you, right? So this is like a deeper level of why we do things rather than just what we do. There are certain things we know to do that are good things to do, but we can't continue to do them unless we have a vision that powers us to do the necessary things to see that vision come to pass. I love what the Amplified Bible says also in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, no revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. So we are designed, you and I are designed in such a way that we will always move in the direction of what we see. We're created to move in the direction of what we see. We're not, right now I'm looking at you. I'm moving in the direction. I see you. You see me. I'm moving in the direction of, I see you. I'm moving in that direction. I'm interested in you. I'm interested in equipping you, empowering you, helping you discover what God's purpose for you is. Whatever we see is the direction our life is going to go in. And that's what a vision is. It's what you see in front of you. It's having, putting something in front of you that is your why. Why am I on this earth? Why am I living? Boy, we have been distracted by, of course, the pandemic. We are distracted with politics. We're distracted with all manner of problems in this world that if we didn't have, televisions and cell phones and access to everything going on in the world all at once, we would probably live way more peaceful lives. We would, not saying that we should be ignorant of all this going on in the world, but sometimes all that's going on in the world can become a distraction to what needs to be going on in between your ears and what needs to be going on that you need to be putting your strength and effort and energy into. Our strength and energy should not be put into arguing our political positions, arguing about, you know, why this is happening, why that's happening. We should be focused on what we're on this earth for. I should be focused on what I'm on this earth for. I can be aware of what's happening in the world, but I can't let that distract the ultimate purpose that I've been put on this world for and what you've been put in this world for. So you need the eye of an eagle to have a vision, the eye of the eagle, like in Job chapter 39, in between verses 27 and 29, the eagle builds his nest high atop a mountain, high atop a tall rock. From there, the Bible says, it spies out the prey, its eyes observe from afar. So an eagle's eyes observe from a far distance. An eagle knows exactly where he's going to swoop down and capture his prey because he sees him from afar. He has a vision, and we need to have that. Like, see from afar, where is my life going? Where do I want my life to go? Because wherever you want your life to go, that's where your energy should then be put in that direction. When you have a vision for your life, you will find it easier to put restraint around your life. When you have a vision for starting a business, for example, you'll you'll make sure you wake up early. You'll make sure you pray over your business. You'll make sure you study. You'll make sure that you have the right budget. Like, all of these things that we do in our lives when we have a vision come naturally to a vision. So whatever that vision is, and I'll get into some of that, how do you find that and how you discover that, but it's all about the why. Remember, here's the vision that I want to encourage everybody to have. This is the vision I have for my life. This is the vision that I've put together from studying other people, studying the Bible, studying my own life, my own soul. And this is what I want in life. I want to create the kind of person that I admire. I want to create and carve my life into the kind of person that I admire so that I can give that person to the world, so that I can be a blessing and benefit the people that are in this world, so that I can be of good to them, whether it's my wife, my children, my church, my friends, my partners, the people that I do business with. I want to be a benefit to the people in my life. I want to become the person that I admire so that that person can be a blessing to this world. And because really, being in the service of others, serving others is the only life worth living. Being in the service of others is the only life worth living. We have so much admiration for people that their lives, their profession is in a service industry. For example, our military. We love our military. We pray for our military. We honor our military. We support our military. Why? Because we know they're giving their lives, or they are living their lives, and in some cases giving their lives, and we honor them for that, and we pray for their families. We pray for our fallen soldiers recently, and our fallen soldiers that wherever that happens. But why do we honor them so much? Because they live their life in the service of others. They potentially give their life in the service of others. Jesus said, the greatest among you is the servant of all. Serving is not a stepping stone to greatness. Serving is greatness. The greatest among you is, if you want to know who's the greatest, it's those who serve, those who live to serve, those who desire to serve. Now, we're sons and daughters of God, but we are also, we gladly and joyfully, or deliberately, intentionally become servants to mankind because we're sons and daughters of God. We don't live for mankind to serve us. That's what worldly royalty, kings and princes and queens and princesses that are actually truly in this earth royalty, everybody else lives to serve royalty in the world system. But in God's system, in God's kingdom, we're the sons and daughters, we're the kings and the priests, we're the kings and the queens, we're the princes and the princesses in Christ. We don't live, other people don't live to serve us, we live to serve them, to see people become born again, to see people fulfill their destiny, to see people to know God, to see people grow and make progress in their lives, to see people find their why. That's why we live. My why is to help you find your why right now. And that's God's calling for our lives, to be in the service of others. So what is the vision that we want to create in our lives? We want to create the person we admire most in every way, and so that we can give that person to this world, so that we can be a benefit to this world. I used to say, and still believe this with all my heart, the greatest thing you can do in your life is to give, the greatest thing you can do for this world is give this world people that are better than yourself. We can do that with our children by giving our children to, you know, helping them become better people than we are. And like I've said to you 100 times, 1,000 times, my kids already are better than me in so many ways. So what I'm working on in my life right now is to be a better me, to give. So I've given the world my kids, and me and Grace have given the world our kids. Now I want to give myself, a better version of myself, to this world. I want to be a better pastor, a better friend, a better prayer warrior for you, a better servant so that you can have more clarity about your vision for your life and your purpose for your life. All right, so you get that. So throughout Scripture, God's blessings are always used to serve others. So, for example, the Scripture answers the questions why. God, when God gives us something, He always gives us a why behind it as well. So, for example, in Genesis chapter 12, God says He would make Abraham a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing. So the blessing is not the why. Getting the blessing is not the why. Being a blessing is the why. This is why God wants to bless us, of course, because He loves us, but also so that we can be a blessing. So we see we're blessed to be a blessing in Genesis chapter 12. We see in Ephesians chapter 2, we're saved by grace through faith, and that's not the gift of God, that is the gift of God, not a result of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So we're saved by grace without our works, without works. We're saved by grace without works, but we're saved so that we can do good works unto others. So we're saved by grace, but why? So that we can have a relationship with God and so that we can do good to others. We are able to, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're saved by grace for good purposes and for good works. We're not saved by our good works, but we're saved so that we can begin to do good works and bring the salvation to others and bring the goodness of God to others. Oh, we also have in Romans chapter 12, we have, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have God transforms us through renewing our mind. But why? Then he goes on to say, so that you may do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So notice the why behind, why does God transform us? Why does God transform us? Why do we renew our minds? We renew our minds to think like God thinks, to create the mindsets of Christ Jesus, create the mindsets of humility and love and expectation and faith, to create those mindsets so that we can do the will of God progressively, the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. You see the progress there? The good will of God, the acceptable will of God, and the perfect will of God. It's progression. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Progression. First the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Mark chapter 4, progression. Forgetting what lies behind, reaching to what lies ahead, pressing on. You see the progression in threes? There's so many places in Scripture where there's this pattern of three parts, which is progressing us or moving us forward step by step. You don't have to know everything about God's purpose for your life today. You just need to take the next step. Somebody told me, I know I'm saved by the grace of God, but how do I find God's will for my life? I said, instead of trying to find all of God's will for your life, just take the next step. Maybe the next step is to forgive somebody. Maybe the next step is to call somebody and encourage them. Maybe the next step is to get involved serving in the church, serving in your spiritual family, in your spiritual house. You don't have to figure it all out, but as you go, the Bible says that Jesus, when the 10 lepers, when they said, Master, Son of David, have mercy on us. It says that he told them, go show yourselves to the priest. Before they were healed, he told them, go show yourselves to the priest. The Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. So I want you to think about that. As they went, they were cleansed. And I want to encourage you, as you take the next step, the next step for you may be get involved. Maybe the next step is send a message in the chats, in the discussion online, and just say, I'm ready to be used by God, or I want to be used by God, or I want to be more involved, or whatever it is, just take the next step and don't worry about all the steps that will become progressive. But my point is, There's always a why to what God gives us. He gives us the blessing so that we can be a blessing. He gives us love so that we can then love ourselves and love others. He gives us wisdom so that we can help solve problems. Why ask for wisdom if you're not trying to solve problems in life? If we're going to help other people, we got to be problem solvers. And to be a problem solver, you simply need to ask God for wisdom. And he said in James chapter 1, verse 5, he will give it to you generously. He's generous. God is so generous. Our Heavenly Father, right? Wow. So remember that to create the life that you admire, to create the life that is a blessing to others, to create the life of serving others, the greatest life of all in serving others, it's, we talked about last week how it takes pain, it takes a price, it takes purpose, it takes perseverance, it takes power, it takes, and it creates progress. And, but we're really double clicking on purpose and the why behind it all. And that's really why, that's really what will help you maintain consistency when you feel like giving up in life, when you feel like your life doesn't count, when you feel like your life doesn't have much meaning. Well, when you understand your why, not just, I want to have a business so that I can be rich. It should be, I want to have a business so that I can be a generous person. I want to create a business that employs other people and serves other people and meets a need and solves a problem. You see the difference between, I just want a business so that I can be the boss and so that I have money. That's that is missing the whole why behind it all. The reason why I want to be successful in our church family to be successful is because I want people to become healthy human beings and discover their purpose in life and reach as many people as we can with the gospel before my race is over, before my life is over. So it's understanding the why. It's so important. Reason we get depressed is because, well, sometimes it's physical, chemical imbalance. But for most of us who maybe it's not a chemical imbalance, it's just part of life. We stay depressed when we are not living in our why. We're forgetting why we're here. We're forgetting what we're here for. Because when you have a clear vision, it motivates you, but it doesn't stop there. Motivation can get you started with something, but it can't help you to finish. Motivation gets you started, but it won't help you run the race consistently, and it'll be stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, stop and go. Continually, if you're just waiting to be motivated. Motivation helps get you started, but when you have a vision, it will cause you to prioritize your life. So not only are you motivated because you have a vision, but now you prioritize your life because you have a vision. So now you prioritize the things that matter. And if they feed into the vision, they're going to be a part of your daily schedule. And if they don't feed into the vision, you remove those from your daily life, from your daily schedule, if they don't serve the vision. It's discovering that purpose that you're here for, the why, and then evaluating your life, doing an inventory of your life and asking yourself, is this activity serving the vision of my why I'm here? Does this activity help me serve others? Does this activity help me get further down the road towards my why? Creating the person that I want to be, creating the person I admire so that I can give that person to the world. Because serving others and being in the service of others, is the only life worth living, being in the service of others. So if I'm doing something that doesn't in any way contribute to that, I want to get that out of my life. I don't need to spend time or money or energy on things that aren't serving the vision that is in my heart for my why, my reason for being on this earth. Paul said, I've seen a vision of heaven and I'd rather go there, but I'm staying here. I'm not going to die yet because of you. He said, because I'm here to serve you. I'm not done with my race. I'm not done with what I'm here to do, to serve you. You need me in this earth longer. You need me in your life longer. That's what Paul was saying, Paul the Apostle. So Mark Twain said something very powerful years ago, great author. He said, the two most important days of your life are the day you're born and the day you discover why. The day you were born and the day you find out why. Those are the two most important days of your life. The day you're born and the day you find out why. And that's a journey, but it's also, we can narrow it down in our lives because God shows us so much in His Word. The first thing that God ever did in every person's life that we see in Scripture is when any human being encountered God, He always gave them a vision for their life. When Moses first met God, God gave him a vision for his life. When Abraham first met God, God gave Abraham a vision for his life. Noah, when he was walking with God, God gave him a vision for his life, build an ark. Noah, Abraham, and Moses, and everybody else in the Bible made a ton of mistakes, but they knew their reason for living, so they didn't let their mistakes disqualify them. They didn't let their failures disqualify them. God didn't let their failures disqualify them. David, failure after failure, failure after failure, mistake after mistake, sin after sin in the Old Testament. But when we see David in the New Testament, when he's mentioned in the New Testament and referred to, he's not one time is his sin mentioned in the New Testament. Not one time. Why? Because God doesn't see him that way. God doesn't see you based on your sins. Those have been washed by the blood of Jesus. God has a purpose for you. It says about David in Acts chapter 13, David fulfilled the purpose of God for his generation. He fulfilled the purpose of God for his generation. Who wants to fulfill the purpose of God for your generation? I mean, somebody wave at me, somebody yell out amen, somebody shout at me wherever you're watching. Somebody tell me that you want to fulfill, you want to be like David, fulfill the purpose of God for your generation. God wants that for you. I want that for you. I want that for me. And type it out in the comment box. Let me know. Talk to me. Communicate with me. I want to hear from you guys. Why is this so important that the first thing God does in every person's life when they encounter him in the Bible is he gives them a vision for their life? Because vision breaks the power of several things. Ready? I'm going to give you a few things. Vision breaks the power of boredom in your life. When you're bored and you feel useless, vision breaks the power of boredom. Vision breaks the power of distraction. Having a vision for your life, it breaks the power of being distracted constantly. Like, I probably have had, I don't want to confess that I have this, but I probably have had a little ADD in my life. At least the people that I work with and people that work with me probably think that I still do have. I forget, what were we talking about? Just kidding, but that's the point. Even if I suffer from sometimes attention deficit disorder, like everybody suffers from that in one way or another, right? Even if I have that, I can still fulfill my purpose without allowing that to stop me, because vision breaks the power of distraction. So even though I might be easily distracted, if I have a vision in front of me of where I'm going and why I'm going there, I will not be distracted very long. The distractions that come into my life will not leave a permanent impact. The distractions will come and go quite quickly rather than having a hold on me and bringing me into another addiction in my life or bringing me into another ditch in my life. This is the power of vision. Vision breaks the power of depression, as I mentioned earlier. It breaks the power of boredom. It breaks the power of distraction. It breaks the power of depression. Like, you can't stay depressed when you're serving other people, when you're helping somebody else. And maybe that's where you just got to start. You got to say, okay, who can I help? Where can I sign up to help hurting people, suffering people? And that's why God puts us in a church family. Everybody in the family has a chore. Everybody in the family has a part to play. We're a part of the body. You might be an ear. I might be a nose. Somebody else might be an elbow. Somebody else might be the fingers or hands. Like, we're all a part of the body, and the body serves itself to serve others. You need to stay healthy or become healthy in your body physically so that you can use that body can carry you into serving others. When your body is broken and when you are constantly dealing with sickness, it's harder to serve other people. Vision breaks the power of depression. Vision breaks the power of laziness. So a lot of times we just don't want to move forward because we allow laziness to creep into our life. But look, all of us could be completely lazy or all of us could be completely disciplined. The difference is vision. Vision creates discipline, and a lack of vision will ultimately create laziness. It's not because you're just a lazy bum. Like Rocky said to, you know, Pauly, you're just a lazy bum. Okay, you guys didn't see that one coming, but there, you got one for free. All right, it's not because you're lazy. It's not because you're bad. It's not because you're, the reason why you get so distracted so easily is because you're forgetting your why. You either haven't identified it or you haven't, you haven't focused on it, okay? Vision breaks the power of fear. Like when you have a vision for something, whatever's in the way of that would normally intimidate you or normally scare you or normally make you run, but you're willing to fight through those things. You're willing to fight through your fears for the sake of a vision, the fulfilling of your why. Vision breaks the power of your past. It's like if you have a vision of where and why you're going in the direction you're going, you're no longer enslaved to your mistakes and you're no longer limited to your pain and limited to your past because you have a vision of where you're going and why. I'm telling you, it's that powerful. So if my vision was just, okay, build a good church, build a decent church in the world, then I would have already, that's already finished, that's already complete, I've done that. But the vision is so for the church to continue to be healthy and to serve others so that we can reach more people with the gospel of God's grace and his love so that people can have a relationship with God, go to heaven one day, and be happy on their journey, taking others with them the whole time. That's the why that we're here, that I'm here. And vision breaks the power of addiction. Some people think that they have an addiction and that's why they can't have a purpose, but this really the opposite. It's because they don't have a purpose that they are enslaved to their addiction. When you have a why, when you put this first in your life, I am gonna live my life. If you would take this and say, man, I'm gonna live my life to create the person in me that I admire the most in every way and give that person to this world because being in the service of others is the only life worth living. If you would take that and adopt that as your life, for this is my vision, everything else has to filter itself through that, everything else has to pass, you can't pass go and collect $200 in the game of Monopoly unless you go around the board, right? You have to pay to play in Monopoly. So if you pass go, you collect $200, you got to receive, you got to keep moving forward. To have what you need to have, you got to keep moving forward and you have to have a vision. This vision for your life, creating the person you admire and giving that person to the world and realizing that there is no better life than a life in service of others. It's not getting my stuff so that I can be happy, getting my house, getting my job, getting my money, getting my career, getting a person in my life, getting a partner. That's not purposeful enough. That's not your why. Those are things that God can add to your life along the way, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. God gives us a vision right there. Seek the kingdom of God. Seek God's way of doing things and God's reason for doing things. That's what it means to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Vision breaks the power of addiction. You'll see addiction loses its power, at least a good amount of it. It loses its power when you have a vision of what kind of person you want to be. I know people that have come out of jail, and the whole time they were in jail, they felt just victimized. They felt like, you know, what's been done to me is wrong. And there have been people that have been in jail for a crime that they never even committed. And for some reason, they were found guilty, Who can answer the why behind all that? But here's what we can say. The people that in prison that plan for their life outside of prison and discipline themselves for the vision that they have of themselves outside of prison, when they get out, they will succeed. People that are in there and they just see themselves, boy, the system beat me, the system defeated me, the system ruined me, the system cheated me, they'll get out and they'll just feel victimized the rest of their life and maybe end up back in jail. But if you could realize that anybody, whether you're in jail, whether you've been through a divorce, whether you've been abused, whether you've been on drugs, whether you've made the worst mistakes of your life, whatever pain you've suffered will lose its power over you when you begin to move towards your why. Why are you here? So why did you begin? And I'll say three more things and we'll pick this up next time. But why are you here? Why are you created? Why are you breathing right now? I'm gonna tell you, the greatest reason that you're here right now on this earth, no matter what anybody tells you, is you were created, you were formed by God because you were created to be loved. You were created to be loved. When you understand that, it will awaken you. You were created to be loved, so that doesn't mean you go around demanding people love you. You were created to be loved. You were created to be adored. You were created ultimately for that love to be awakened in you so that you could love God. You were created to be loved by God so that you can love Him back. And in loving Him back, miracles happen. In loving Him back, things happen for your life that will blow your mind. In fact, I'll read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. And what does the Bible say? It says, as it is written, what no eye has seen yet, what no ear has heard yet, what no human mind has conceived yet, all of the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. Now, to create the life that you admire so that you can give that life and give that person to this world to be of service of others, to be in the service of others, it starts with being loved, knowing that you were created to be loved and to love. Be loved by God so that you can love yourself and you can love others. To be loved and to be adored so that that ultimately awakens you to what you were truly created for, which was to worship God. Oh, now we're getting into something here. And worship God doesn't just mean singing. It can include that, but that's not what worship is. Worship is surrendering. Worship is agreeing with God. Worship is surrendering your old way of thinking and adopting His way of thinking. Worshiping is loving the Father, adoring your Creator, discovering more of Him so that you can discover more of what you're like, made in His image, discovering more of Him so that you can reflect Him to others more than you ever have in your life. In Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, remember Jesus was tempted by the devil? And what, think about the last temptation by the devil in the wilderness. It was to worship something. He said, the devil said, if you bow down and worship me, see all these kingdoms, they've all been given to me. He took them from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave them to him. They've all been given, God gave them to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave those kingdoms to the devil. And now the devil offers them to Jesus and says, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Now, there is great miraculous power that comes from worshiping. But we can never worship something smaller than God. We were never created to worship something smaller than God. That's when life gets perverted and twisted. When there's anything smaller than God that we worship. Everybody's created to worship and to adore and surrender to something. We're all created to do that. But when you're worshiping success, worshiping fame, worshiping money, when you're surrendering to that, when you're surrendering to an addiction, when you're surrendering, you're worshiping that thing. And you weren't created to worship something small. Those are all small things. You weren't created to worship those things. You were created to worship the biggest thing in the universe, the greatest thing in the universe, the thing most worthy of praise in the universe, and that is God. And when you do that, everything else just seems to follow along, and everything else just seems to be added into your life. And then you become the person that you admire, and you give yourself to the world in a way that is a blessing. The best thing you can do in life right now is not be a burden to others, but help remove burdens from others. It starts with being adored by God so that you're no longer sucking life from other people, needing love from other people, constantly bowing to something else or someone else to get their approval and to get their love and to get their adoration. You're delivered from that when you accept the adoration of God for you, his love for you. He adores you. He loves you. He's smiling at you. And you get a hold of that, then you breathe that back out to him. You breathe it in from him. You breathe it out to him. And I'm telling you, you will accidentally, just by living, accidentally bump into the blessing of God. You'll accidentally bump into the purpose of God. You'll accidentally bump into the abundance of God. You'll accidentally, like, you won't even be trying to get those things. They'll just, you'll keep running into those things and bumping into only good things, because even when you go backwards sometimes, because he loves you and you love him back, you go backwards, and guess what's waiting? Guess what you bump into when you go backwards? Goodness and mercy. Why? Because they're following you all the days of your life. So any minute you go, any step you take backward, boom, you're going to step into some goodness and mercy, because it's always following you all the days of your life, even the bad days. Woo! All right, that's exciting to me. So how do we step into this? What are the steps to discover our why? Let me give you three and we'll close today and pray for you. Learn to listen to the voice of God. Number one, you tune your ear into the right voice. Our ears are listening to so many other voices. We need to tune into the voice of God. And the voice of God always starts as the voice of love. The first thing we see Jesus heard from the Father recorded in the Bible is when he got baptized, coming up out of the waters of baptism, he hears a voice, and it says, and God's voice says, and other people heard it too, "You are my dearly loved son. You bring me great joy. You are my beloved son. In you I'm well pleased." We've learned it that way, but I love the New Living Translation. "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." We always come back to that why, because that is your why. Being loved by the Father is your why that produces all the other whys, all the other reasons for your existence. Learn to listen to the voice of God. You can't hear the voice of God unless you're filtering what you hear through the voice of love. So anytime you hear something that you think is from God and it's condemning you, it's judging you, it's saying that it's mad at you, that's a disguise. That's the devil disguising himself as God, but that is never the voice of God. God never speaks with guilt, shame, condemnation. That's the devil's game. The devil's in the shame game. The devil's in the blame game. The devil's in that. That's always the voice of darkness, the voice of accusation. God's voice is never a voice that accuses. His voice is always a voice that loves and that forgives and that directs and that guides and that encourages and that inspires. That's the way God speaks. He doesn't speak with fear, through fear. He doesn't motivate through fear. He motivates through love. Love casts out fear. God is love. Listen to the voice of God. Like, learn to listen to the voice of God. Look at what the voice of God that God spoke to Jesus out loud. That is the clearest thing we could ever understand of what God is saying. There's nothing that could be clearer about God's voice than what we see witnessed in the Bible, that God's voice audibly spoke to Jesus out loud and he heard it. And only two times do we have the voice of God speaking out loud to Jesus where we actually are witnesses of what the Father says to Jesus. And both times, it's the same thing. You are my dearly loved son. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. The first time it's, you are my dearly loved son, and I'm pleased with you, and you bring me great joy. And the second time is, this is my dearly loved son. This is my dearly loved son. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. Wow. Only two times the audible voice of God in the life of Jesus, that we hear his voice, that we see witnessed in the Bible, the voice of God could be audibly heard by Jesus and the people around him. Both times his voice was love. So when the voice is accusative, that's the devil. When it's love, it's God. Somebody needs to shout about that. Number two, if you want to interpret your why, it starts with listening to the voice of God, the voice of love. Number two, by winning the battle of your heart. To interpret God's why, the reason you're here, you have to win the battle of your heart, meaning there is a fight for what is going to navigate and control your decision-making faculty, your heart, your mind, your soul, your emotions. And we need to win that, the battle of our heart, by siding with what God says about us, siding with depositing good seeds in our heart, planting the right seeds. The purpose of God is found in the voice of God. The purpose of God is found in a heart filled with the good things that God has to say about you and about others. It says in Luke 6:44, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. If you want to do good into this world, if you want to confer goodness to this world, to your family, to yourself, to others, fill your heart up with good treasure. And then good things will come out of a heart filled with good. Good things will come out of your life because you're filling your heart with the good promises of God and the good things God says about you. And you end up bringing good things to the world because of the good that is stored up inside of your heart. That's how you win the battle of your heart. And number three, start with what you were born to do. And what were you born to do? Worship. To be adored and to adore him back. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that brings you in to God's purpose for your life. I'm out of time here, but I want to pray for you. Lord, thank you for each person connected right now. Open their hearts, open their eyes to their why. Open their eyes to your adoration. Open their eyes to your love. Open their eyes to your purpose, Lord. And I know that you have clearer purpose for each person, and you will clarify it and bring clarity and wisdom. I ask you for that. And I ask that every person connected here will begin to have the assurance and feel the assurance that they are here on purpose. They are here for purpose, and they will fulfill their God-given purpose in Jesus' name. Now, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, can't let you go without giving you an opportunity to do that. Do you know that being born again is so simple? To as many as received him, to them they became sons of God. They became children of God just by receiving Jesus. Whoever believes on his name is saved. Believe with me right now. If you're not sure you're going to heaven, pray this. Heavenly Father, I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe Jesus died for my sins. Say that out loud. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. It's that simple. Now we grow together as family. And speaking of growing together in family, as family, there's a book on your screen that you can download anywhere in the world. It's absolutely free. It's my gift to you. It's the next steps of what it means to have prayed what you just prayed, to receive Jesus as your Savior. Now you can see these next steps. Get it absolutely free. Give it to somebody you care about, or take, get it for yourself. And the next step after that is we'll see you Sunday in person or online. Can't wait to see you then. God bless. Love you guys.